Welcome to the Muscle Expert Podcast with Ben Pakulski, one of the world's top professional bodybuilders, an expert on human performance and mindset mastery. Ben dives deep to deliver the strategies of the top experts to upgrade your body, mind, muscle, strength, performance, biochemistry, and how to become the upgraded modern man. Join us on BenPakulski.com to learn the cutting-edge techniques to take control of your body, your brain, and create your greatest life.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Muscle Expert Podcast, Ben Pakulski, sitting here with one of my greatest inspirations ever. From the time I was 18 years old, you don't know that, but I was watching Dave Tate do amazing things, both in business and with his body. And he's been literally one of the guys that I've been watching from afar, how he's transitioned from building an incredible physique, building an incredible powerlifting career, and now into building one of the world's most recognizable brands, Elite FTS. Man, I'm grateful for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. So you've been going through a lot of interesting stuff. Obviously, you for many years were one of the greatest powerlifters out of Westside. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, I don't want to get into too much of the Westside history, but I want to talk about what of the psychological aspects you took from your training days and started transitioning them into business. Like, what were your greatest learning opportunities from training? Because we have a lot of listeners who are currently athletes. They're currently living the fitness life. And a lot of them are trying to turn their fitness career into, or sorry, their training into a fitness career.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's very few people who actually do it successfully.
Yes.
What do you think was that thing that really, you know, set you apart from everybody else?
I think there's a bunch of things. You know, there's a lot of qualities that come from serious, and I say serious strength sports. So it could be bodybuilding, it could be powerlifting,
yep.
But it's gotta be done at that level that it's your first, second part. I mean, it's up there. It's not a hobby type of thing,
right?
Because how you approach things changes. There's a lot of things that carry over to business that I found that definitely impact. But before I get into those, I always like to stress that there's also things that carry over very negatively in a business.
I'm living it right now.
Okay, so when you're in a strength sport, ego is huge, and it has to be huge because it's all about you, and you're responsible for everything that you do, even though you have to have support team around you.
Yep.
At the end of the day, it's still you the one putting the food in your mouth. It's still you the one under the bar. So you get into that ego-centric mind state, which does not work in business.
Nope.
Not at all.
Right there.
And that's very, very hard for a lot of people who are transitioning through to pivot from, because they go from something that's 100% totally their responsibility to the business, if you own it, is still 100% totally your responsibility, but no longer is the credit yours. The credit always now belongs to all your staff, but you are the one responsible for all the mistakes. Where in sport, the credit kind of always belongs to the athlete who did it, where the mistakes are usually always blamed on the coaches and everybody that kind of helped with that.
Yeah.
Now, the qualities that help that I think the most are when you're in the strength sports, and I can't relate this to other type of sports, you're dealing with a diverse background of people. So where I trained, there was a vast background. I mean, I could be in there with, you know, a brain surgery and a convict and all kinds of other stuff. So you learn that you're all training for, say, the same meet. You don't have to like the people you're training with. You know, as long as you're training for the same thing. I mean, we'd have, you know, fist fights in the gym and nobody would ever stop their sets. You know, it was just the nature of it's just how it worked. So from business, that kind of works that way too, is you don't have to necessarily like the people that you're working with, or, you know, contractors you're working with, or subcontractors you're working with. You know, personalities don't matter. It's the work that matters. So you can have somebody that you have a personality with and say, you know what, I don't like that fucking guy, but can he still do the job? Because you can find somebody that you really like and jive with, but they can't do the fucking work. So what would you rather have? The work done? You know, or somebody you really get along with.
So that's a challenge for most people, and myself included, removing the emotional attachment to the interactions, right? Like, so how do you allow yourself to be unemotionally attached? Because I'm living it in my business right now. Emotions are everything, right? Learning to manage people's interactions, learning to manage their emotions, their feelings, learning to manage conflicts is one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do as a leader, especially because throughout my entire life, it's always been almost muting stress. Like as a bodybuilder, mm-hmm. you get it as a powerlifter. Like, I don't hear stress. There's stress over there. I get a squat, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you go from, you know, muting stresses to now acknowledging and leading these people who have these emotional conflicts?
Yeah. A, you have to have the right people.
Yeah.
B, you have to know when it's time to cut ties. You know, so I always say, you know, nobody ever does it, but, you know, hire slow, fire fast.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's hard to fire
that
fast.
Type of thing. And then address things. Don't let it bubble up. If something starts to become a little bit of an issue, address it. You know, you can let it sit on the surface for a little bit and see, because, you know, sometimes it's just bullshit. All right, and it will go away. And you, the longer you do it, the more you begin to realize this is not going to be bullshit. I've been in this position 3 or 4 times before.
Yeah.
Then you address it, because the longer that you don't address it, what happens is, and let's just call it drama, all right? That drama starts to occupy your emotional bandwidth. All right, so now at work and at home, that's all you're thinking about is that. So while that emotional bandwidth is worrying about if this person can get along with this person, you're not being creative. You're not growing your business. So it's draining.
Right.
You know, I use the example of, and anybody that's in business, they may not know it yet, but at some point in time, they will be involved in some type of legal issue. And it won't be insured, okay? And it's gonna cost. And it's going to cost a ton. And, you know, hopefully that happens, because if that happens, that means that you've been in business for a long enough period of time for that to happen. All right. I don't wish it on anybody, but here's kind of the gist of that. You can sit and worry about it, because it's going to last a long time. You're going to think it's going to last 3 weeks, 2 weeks. It's going to last 6 months or a year,
right.
Maybe more. You can sit and worry about it every night. What if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And at the end of the whole thing, not one of those one ifs is going to be the actual scenario. So all that emotional bandwidth that you wasted was wasted. Yeah. That could have been put towards something creative. The way it essentially works is, you know, you send me a legal conflict letter, and I'm going to look at it and say, do I throw this away or do I respond? And if I got to respond, I call the attorneys, and then I have the 1 or 2 hour conversation with the attorneys, and then I forget about it. Let them do their job. That's what they're paid for. I can't sit there and say, why are you doing this? Why are you, what a fucking dickhead, you know? What, you know, what this, what sure. this, what this, what this, what this? And then they'll call me in a week and they're gonna say, okay, here's the response, the probably what we're gonna do. What do you think? Now I engage, I think about it for that hour or whatever it's gonna be, and send it out, done. 2 hours of emotional bandwidth. Granted, this is a lot easier said than done, by
sure.
the way. Then it's off my plate. Because you're going to have 10 days to reply, 7 days to reply, what are the attorneys? Why am I going to spend the next 7 days trying to figure out what you're going to say?
Right.
I'm not you.
Yeah.
You know, but people do. So the reason why a lot of the legal issues and a lot of these type of things put businesses out isn't really the expense of the legal issue or the legal issue. It's the 8 months they wasted not trying to build their own brand or build their own creativity. That's what tanks them every single time.
What do you feel it was about you that made you so successful first in athletics?
Getting the fuck beat out of me as a kid, you
right.
know, just trying to prove, you know, to myself that I could be better than what everybody else was saying that I was. I think you kind of find that across the board. And I want to say strength sports, but I think you find it in wrestling. I think you find it in a lot of individual
sure
sports
yep.
where people kind of gravitate towards sports where they have all accountability. It's
sure.
like, this is on me.
I'm right there.
Yeah, I need a coach, but yeah. this is on me.
Right.
You know, and then that builds that, which again carries over really great to business, but it also creates a mindset in business to where if shit starts to hit the fire, instead of delegating, you start pulling
Take
in.
On,
like,
yep.
you know what? Fuck that. I got that. I'll
okay.
do this.
Right.
I can get this done faster.
So now as a dad, and you know, with the conversation of the world right now going to like pushing everyone to a more mediocrity and pussification of children, mm-hmm. how do you instill that attitude and mindset of integrity, I guess, or of like get shit done with your kids without obviously having to beat their head in?
Accountability and responsibility.
Right.
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, we see a lot of people complaining about, you know, the kids and, you know, millennials
sure.
and all that kind of stuff, right?
Nothing to do with it.
Look at who's complaining.
Right.
Okay, and then realize they're complaining about their own kids.
Yep.
So whose problem is it?
Yeah.
They raised them. You know, so don't. People get things backwards.
Totally get it. So what are you doing now with your, obviously you got two kids, like what do we do, what do I do as a dad to ensure my kids have ownership over their life? That, like, I always talk about parenting because I think it's one of the most important things in the world to raise a generation of great men and women. Without, you know, like I grew up very much like you, like two middle fingers to the world, I'll do it myself. Obviously pursued bodybuilding. Now I'm trying to transcend this need to be big. Mm-hmm. I love it, but I don't need it. Whereas like you, you probably needed that strength. You mm-hmm. probably needed that struggle to beat your head in the gym to prove something to yourself.
Yeah.
But I want to raise a generation of kids who don't need that external gratification, but get it from the inside. What is your advice to a dad out there or a mom who wants to raise, you know, someone who's accomplished some great things like yourself?
There's always nurture and nature, you know, so there's always two aspects of the whole thing where we can only do the best that we can do, you know, so all my advice to them is just do the best that you can do and, you know, and the accountability and responsibility and stuff like that. I mean, I think for the most part, everybody knows what's the right thing, what's the wrong thing, but you got to understand that a lot of people are successful in spite of the circumstances they grew up in and successful despite the circumstances they grew up in.
Yep.
So, you know, the value structure that your children are going to have are going to be established before they're probably in junior high. So making sure you instill, you know, the right values and then kind of hoping for the best and teaching them how to use adversity. Because to me, and maybe I use it too much, and maybe I actually self-create it, like a self-fulfilling philosophy, which really fucks with my head sometimes when I think about it. But, you know, through adversity comes prosperity, and you learn. Right. You know, very rarely do you learn from your successes, because you can look back and say, well, that all went well, but did I just get lucky this time?
Yep.
You know,
So how do you instill values and the principles in your team at work to allow them to take ownership for, you know, to build this awesome business? Because obviously there's a correlation, I always draw correlations between raising kids and having employees, you know, teaching them principles, teaching them values that allow them to take your business and help you create this massive mission.
It's a constant process of fucking up. You know, I'm not going to be one of those people that can sit here and, you know, spew out the entrepreneur dream.
Sure.
All right, because we're all kind of learning, and leadership is an aspect that's probably the hardest to learn. I certainly don't know what the fuck I'm doing. You know, I still fuck up.
Right.
So I have to rely on, you know, my managers, you know, and have more group decision making at the higher level, which I didn't have before.
Right.
You know, so now the fuck ups are fewer than what they were before, because, you know, I can meet with, you know, I have three people at a C-level, myself included. You know, I can meet with them and, you know, I get outvoted. You know, I'm not going to sit there and throw a fit about it. It's just going to be like, well, okay, you know, let's move forward, support what this is, and kind of go from there. So for the last few years, that's probably been the one thing that's helped me the most from that standpoint. You know, as far as staff development and all that, everybody's different, and I run a culture that probably, when I look at it, gives more freedom than what it really should, and probably not enough accountability, you know, and checks and balances on everything. But if I'm to err, I'd rather err it on that end, because I want people to find a way to enjoy what they're doing most of the time. You know, it's still work. You know, even with us, you know, and the owners and all the other kind of stuff, it's still work. You're not going to come in and everything you do say, fuck yeah, this is great. You know, but if you can get 50%, 20%, 70%, anything over 10% that you really like, that's a good fucking job. Because there's a lot of people, the majority of the people who actually work and have jobs only work to support their family. And they do what they have to do for their family, and they love their family, but they don't have any real job satisfaction in what they're doing.
Right.
Their job satisfaction is the paycheck that they get to be able to support their family.
Sure.
So if you can provide, you know, something people can take pride in and some ownership in, and then even if it's just to the smallest percentage, and find a way to grow that percentage, and it will fluctuate, you know, because people are dynamic. You know, it's they all think differently, they all react differently, and, you know, so they may be really engaged for a while, then they become disengaged.
Sure.
Then, you know, they'll get re-engaged and disengaged. And as long as you understand that those things constrict and expand, and it's an ebb and flow.
Right.
Because, you know, everybody's going to get constricted, yourself included.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to fire yourself just because you're disengaged for a couple weeks?
Right.
Because if that's great the case, you know, you got to be careful. I mean, don't fire somebody, you know, don't fire.
Great advice.
Yeah.
Great advice. Yeah. So for anybody out there who wants to get strong as F, you're one of the strongest guys ever. What's, you know, two to three pieces of advice you want to give guys out there or girls who want to be world-class in powerlifting or in strength training? You're still obviously a great coach. What are the things people doing wrong? What do you think are the things people need to do more of?
When I look at the athletes of today, and I'm comparing them to the athletes of, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, the number one thing they're doing wrong is, if it's what they really want to do, if they want to be the best, then they need to fucking commit to being the best, which means everything else is going to become second priority. There is no fucking balance.
I agree.
You know, maybe you can find, maybe there's balance after the show or after the meet, you know, where you put more focus.
How much balance did you have? I never had an ounce of balance anymore.
You know, I almost got divorced 3 times.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, but, and I'm not saying that's, you know,
right.
Maybe, you know, our advice can help other people.
Sure.
But I'm not going to give the advice that says, hey, be balanced, and then get your ass kicked by somebody right. That's not.
How much do you think social media influences that? Because people are always chasing that, like, I need to post a PR today, rather than following the plan and building toward this ultimate end result of the competition. Do you think that, you know, Instagram and Facebook are detracting from people's ability to actually be successful in the long term because they're always chasing those daily numbers?
Of course. And the reason why I'm going to say this isn't for the reason what people think. You know, everybody's trying, like we're speaking about balance. We are specifically speaking about significant others, you know, wives and kids and so forth that you have. You're serious. I mean, let's think you're going to put 25 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour a day into making posts on social media when your number one goal is to win a show or your number one goal is to win a meet. Nothing you post is going to help you win that show. Nothing you post is going to help you win that meet. If you're actually dedicated to winning that show or winning that meet, nothing you post at all is going to influence the judges in any fucking way. But that half hour or 1 hour a day you spend fucking posting is an hour you're taking away from your wife or your kids.
Right.
So don't complain to me about your fucking balance when you're posting all kinds of social media shit. Don't complain to me how serious you are and how hard your grind is and all the dues you're fucking paying when you're not laser focused on just winning that.
Right.
Or just be fucking honest. Just say, you know what, I'm using the sport of powerlifting, or I'm using the sport of bodybuilding to be able to create my own personal brand to be able to help leverage me in the future.
Right.
That's different than being the guy who's training to win.
Sure.
The Arnold Classic or the Olympia.
What's the number one thing people could do in the gym to improve their ability to be world class?
Focus. You know.
No selfies in the middle of the sets.
I understand. You know, I had a situation with my wife where there was a phone call where there was an emergency situation. So I understand having your phone. All right, you don't have your phone,
sure.
People can die. But you can leave it at the front desk and say, come get me if somebody fucking calls.
Mm-hmm.
And then focus. Because let's just, I don't want to get into training parameters and all that. We can do that on the podcast. But let's say that you have somebody programmed with 60 to 90 second rest periods. Really?
It's important.
Are they doing that?
Right.
You know, if they're sending fucking text, if they're doing all this other kind of shit, they're not paying attention to the rest intervals.
Right.
Because to do that, you either got a watch beeping or you're looking at a fucking clock.
Right.
You know, so yep. It's distracting.
Man, I love it. And that's a perfect segue. We're going to come back next time and talk about the X's and O's of training, man, because I think from my perspective, there's a lot of people that could definitely be improving what they're doing in their quest to get strong and big. And you're one of the guys who's got one of the best, most extensive thought processes I've ever heard. So, man, I look forward to digging deep on that, man. So, dude, I appreciate your time.
I appreciate it, man.
We'll appreciate the advice.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thanks, thank you.